If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Morning, happy Wednesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. Hope your day is starting off well. Mine is starting off behind. I gotta say that the trip to Belchertown was fun, but it was certainly quite a ride. But I got a nice reception out there, so thanks to everybody that came out last night. If you are listening now, I tried to get everybody to download the WBSM app so they could hear the program. But I thank you all for coming out. And tonight will be my final presentation of the spooky season. I'll be at the Pembroke Public Library at 6 p.m. So it should be a shorter ride home and a earlier night in bed. But I'm happy to go anywhere and spread the word of the Bridgewater Triangle and the spooky South Coast. Also, while I was out there and getting deeper into kind of central Massachusetts and seeing some of the colors that were popping on the trees out there, in addition to the fact that it was cool, but it wasn't cold. And of course, now today it's already warmer and it's going to be, well, close to 70 today. And then you just heard Phil say tomorrow will be the second warmest Halloween on record. So that's a nice thing for this time of year because, like I said yesterday, kids don't want to go out and wear a jacket with their costume. They don't want to have to wear a sweatshirt with their costume. So this way here, they can actually get out and enjoy Halloween for what it's supposed to be without worrying about whether or not it's going to be too cold. And also, I did something yesterday that I like to do when I travel somewhere, whether it be, you know, just driving a couple of hours or whether it be getting on a plane and flying somewhere. But I decided to have something to eat. I wasn't really super hungry. I had a salad for lunch yesterday. Didn't finish it. And that pretty much filled me up. But on the way home, I said, you know, I should probably stop and get something to eat. What's around here that I can't get at home? Obviously, it's too late to go to a sit-down restaurant. You know, it's almost 9 o'clock at night. I've got to find something with a drive-thru, I guess. And so I said, you know what? I wonder if there's an Arby's around here. I've wanted to try an Arby's for a long time. I'd had Arby's when I was a kid, and it was terrible. But I've seen all these commercials, you know, we have the meats, all that stuff. And I was like, you know what? They've probably gotten better over the years. And so I opened up my GPS app and I found, sure enough, there was an Arby's on my way home. So I stopped there and got, you know, what are they most known for? Roast beef sandwiches, right? So I stopped and got a roast beef sandwich. And it was absolutely terrible. It was salty. And it was weirdly dry and moist at the same time. I don't know if they like take the meat and put it in a microwave or if they steam it or what they do, but it was not good. And so I ate the sandwich against my better judgment. I finished it and said, well, that does it. That takes care of my, I ended up, you know, eating only about half the bread because that happens to me with sandwiches a lot of times because I can't finish the bread. But I finished the meat and I was like, well, that'll get rid of the Arby's curiosity for the rest of my life because, oof, was that bad. So tonight, I don't know. I'll find something in the Pembroke area for dinner, maybe before. It's hard, speaking at 6 o'clock, to eat beforehand. And plus, I don't like to, you know, eat and then go and talk. You'll see me. A lot of times I show up at these libraries and I'll be in the parking lot brushing my teeth. And that's actually something that I learned from Sean Grandy, the Celtics play-by-play announcer on the radio broadasts. I noticed that he would brush his teeth after dinner at the Celtics game and then go, and I was like, oh, you brush after every meal? And he said, well, I like to brush before I go on the air because if you get a little something stuck in your teeth from dinner, you're going to stick your tongue in there all the time and try to get it out absentmindedly. He goes, and then you'll talk funny. It's like, oh, that's a great idea. So now I try to brush my teeth, you know, anytime before I go on the air, whether it be obviously in the mornings, I brush my teeth before I come in. But even before Spooky, I would brush my teeth. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Certainly yesterday was a day of interesting news, both nationally and locally. We have the wrap-up of the presidential campaigns as they prepare and hunker down for next week's election day. We have the comments of President Joe Biden calling Trump supporters garbage, although then clarifying and saying he meant the particular supporter who made the quote unquote joke about Puerto Rico. But I don't think that he meant to encompass all Trump supporters. I think he just, as he usually does, misspoke. And actually, I watched the video. It seemed more like it was an issue of speaking too fast and his mouth wasn't saying the words that he was reading on the screen. So I do believe that he meant that particular supporter. However, at this point, why back down from the comments? Really? At this point, why? Why bother? Did you think that any of those Trump supporters were going to switch sides? Did you think that any undecided voters are going to hear that and be like, well, the current president, who's not even on the ballot, called the other guy's supporters garbage, so I'm going to not vote for the person that's his vice president just because of that? Like, let's stop thinking that at this point anything matters anymore. Everything goes, apparently. We had the comedian Tony Hinchcliffe calling Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. We had other nasty comments about Kamala Harris in that rally. We have Kamala Harris referring to Donald Trump as a fascist. Like, let's just let anything go for the next week. Nobody at this point is walking into the ballot box walking into the ballot booth on Tuesday saying, oh, I'm just not sure. I'm just not sure. I mean, I'm sure there are some people. but it's not enough to even, I don't even think at this point, to sway the election one way or the other, to make a difference one way or the other. People know what they're doing at this point. I think it's entirely possible that in some of the local races, people are still divided, still undecided. I think it's entirely possible that some of the questions, people are still undecided, especially the ones that are, you know, a little less obvious. I think a lot of people have been, you know, impacted by, say, a student in their family who has to take the MCAS, or maybe they know somebody who works as an Uber or Lyft driver. We're all impacted by the state legislature and whether or not that needs to be audited. So, you know, some of these, everybody's probably gone out to eat. So I think we're impacted by all those. Maybe question four takes you a little bit more thought as the final pushes are being made here. But for the most part, I think people have decided, let's just let anything go and see how wild it can get at this point, right? Since everything's going unchecked anyway. Everything's devolved. I saw a clip from CNN the other night where a journalist who is a Trump supporter said to a Muslim reporter on the same panel, "I hope your beeper doesn't go off." Anything goes, I guess. Although he did get removed from CNN. But now he's lashed out at CNN and said, "Oh, well, they can't take a joke." Well, it wasn't funny. So, like I said, it's getting wild. Let's just see how wild we can make it, right? 508-996-0500. There's also, of course, local stories that we can discuss as well. The Parker Elementary School, as you heard Phil mention, will be taken out of receivership. Hasn't happened yet. There's a protocol that has to go through in order for that to happen. But they're starting that process, and hopefully it won't be a difficult thing for it to pass out of those protocols. But this is a credit to the folks that work at that school and to the school department as a whole. You know, when these schools were all designated underperforming a decade ago now, more than that in some cases, the plan was put in place and the plan worked. And that's in spite of the pandemic that shut schools down and caused all kinds of learning challenges. If not for the pandemic, we might have been there sooner, but the schools got there. And so now with Parker Elementary coming out of that, you know, which I would assume is going to happen relatively soon, that's another feather in the cap for those hardworking educators. And it's also good for the school as well, and for the school department, because as Mayor Mitchell pointed out in his statement, the school is in better hands when it's being run by the school department, when it's being run by our own people instead of an outside receivership. So congratulations to everybody over there for their hard work in making that happen. And speaking of schools, we had the announcement yesterday that UMass Dartmouth is going to have free tuition for people that meet a certain criteria beginning next fall. And they're calling it the UMass Dartmouth deal. So if you want to qualify, if you want to know if you qualify for the UMass Dartmouth deal, they've set up a website, a web page, umassd.edu/deal, which we have linked up in the story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. But who is eligible for this deal? Any in-state undergrad student with an annual family income of $75,000 or less. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of single parent families in this area. If you live in New Bedford, you're a high school student this year, a high school senior this year, because this will start next fall. So if you're a high school senior this year and you're in a single parent family, there's a good chance that they don't make more than $75,000. Apply to UMass Dartmouth. Even if that's not where you want to go, if you have other choices, other schools that you want to go to, just apply to UMass Dartmouth. I don't know how much it costs to fill out applications anymore. But I know when I was in high school, because I was a low-income family, I was able to get waivers for my applications. I think I paid for the UMass application, and I think it was like, I want to say like 15 or 20 bucks. But that's only because I applied for UMass 2 weeks before the semester began. So I'd already graduated high school when I applied. I was supposed to go, I applied to Harvard, that's where I wanted to go. I didn't get in because my SAT scores were a little too low. Well, my math SAT score was too low. And so then I had gotten into Boston College, and I was going to go there, and I was going to roommate with my best friend. We were going to go there together. And then there was a snag with the financial aid, and I said, well, I can't go in for $30,000 in loans the first year out, because what if I don't get any financial aid the rest of the time? So I wasn't going to go to school. I was going to take a year off and then redo all the paperwork and try again for the financial aid. But with 2 weeks to go, I said, you know, I don't want to fall behind a year. Maybe I'll just go to UMass Dartmouth for a year. And so I just, on a whim one day, you know, I didn't have the internet at home to go log on and check it out. This is 1996. So on a whim one day, I just drove to UMass and said, I'm going to go ask them, find out. And they had me fill out an application. They pretty much told me right then and there, you're going to get financial aid. And I went to UMass basically on a scholarship, between the scholarship and the Pell Grant that paid for my UMass Dartmouth. And it was a great education, I thought. I didn't like some of the bureaucracy, some of the lab fees and the required things that you had to do. And, you know, why am I taking this class? Because, we're past high school. I don't get why I have to take this class. But, you know, that's going to happen in high school. But I am glad that I wish that I had applied to it earlier and just had it, you know, not that I like the term safety school, but I wish I had already had the application in, because, you know, who knows how much better my freshman year could have been if I, you know, could have applied to classes early and known right when I wasn't going to BC, well, you know what, then I guess I am going to go to UMass Dartmouth. So kids, if you are a senior, apply, especially if you fit that criteria, because you don't even need to apply to be part of this program. They're going to automatically opt you in if you qualify. That's what it said in the release yesterday. So if you are in a family that makes under $75,000 and you live in Massachusetts and you apply to UMass Dartmouth and you get in and you go there, it's going to be free. Free to you. Of course, it's still paid for by the taxpayers. I get it. Yes. But you're not going to have a bill. You're not going to have a tuition. You're not even going to have fees. The mandatory fees. You'll still have to pay for your books and things like that. But the fees that are associated with the courses that you take, you won't have to pay. And they'll have additional scholarships to assist with the cost of things such as books and housing. And part of the UMass Dartmouth deal, will guarantee that eligible students will have a room within with on-campus housing. So as part of the deal, they guarantee that you will have a room. Now, you might have to pay for that if you don't get the extra scholarships to be able to cover the room. But at least you'll have access to a room. And I don't know what the board cost is, you know, to stay at UMass Dartmouth now. It was not that pricey when I was there, but I opted to be a commuter because I had to work every day back in Wareham. 508-996-0500. Let's take a call here. Good morning. You're on WBSN. Morning. How you doing?
Good morning. It won't be free at UMass Dartmouth. I haven't seen the press release, but having tuition free is a really good thing, but tuition is really the smaller portion of the bill. It's the fees that are the larger portion. I don't know the percentages, but I know fees add up to a lot more than tuition.
It said that the fees will be covered as well.
In that case, that's a deal. And anybody who's thinking about a four-year school anywhere, it's going to be expensive somewhere else if they're eligible for this. If my kids are all grown and have gone through school, but I would suggest that they do this because it's a great education. UMass Dartmouth's a great school. Mm-hmm. With a lot of various disciplines that you can, in terms of majors that you can seek. This financially, that's a wonderful deal. I know the community colleges. In particular, Bristol Community College has had free community college for a while, an extremely popular offering that people are taking advantage of. So I hope the same thing will happen here.
Absolutely. Thank you for the call.
All right. Thanks.
Have a great day. And that is another thing to make sure we point out, too, that, community colleges in Massachusetts are now free for anybody who has not had an undergraduate degree. And I know someone who, when this announcement was made, said, well, I'm going to go apply to BCC and take some courses. And literally went down, applied, signed up, and is all signed up for the fall semester. Was all signed up for the fall semester. Like that. Like nothing. So this, I mean, I know people complain about, well, this is just adding more to the taxpayers, but this is going to be huge down the line to have an access to college education for the public that will create people who are better workers, better thinkers on the other side of it. 508-996-0500. I've got to take a quick break here before the news. We'll be right back. All right. Well, it is time now to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
Election Day is almost here. Americans seem ready for it to be over. The man who attacked Nancy Pelosi's husband headed to prison, and an entertainer who made us laugh dead at 79.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Election Day is now less than a week away as the candidates make their final pitches to voters. Some polls showing former President Trump and Vice President Harris in a dead heat. More numbers rolling in showing many Americans are worried about the election. Monica Nelson reports.
Nearly 7 in 10 Americans say the upcoming presidential election is stressing them out. That's according to a new survey from the American Psychological Association. Alicia Simpson says anxiety around the election is affecting her day-to-day life.
I just wake up every day with a pit in my stomach.
The possibilities for political violence and the economy were among the top worries. Experts advise to focus on the positive and be respectful. I'm Monica Nelson.
Former Vice President Mike Pence is not endorsing his former running mate in the upcoming election. Brian Shook with the details.
I haven't endorsed our ticket only because I have real concerns about the direction of the Republican Party today.
Speaking at a luncheon on Long Island Tuesday, the Republican said there are voices in the party who are prepared to walk away from our allies and American leadership in the world, and voices that are marginalizing the sanctity of life. Pence added he could never back the Democratic ticket of Kamala Harris and Tim Walz because they don't represent a philosophy of government he could ever support. I'm Brian Shook.
Former Trump advisor Steve Bannon Bannon is out of prison. Bannon walked out of the federal lockup in Danbury, Connecticut on Tuesday. The right-wing podcaster served 120 days for contempt of Congress, specifically for failing to comply with its investigation into the January 6, 2021 U.S. Capitol riot. The man who attacked Nancy Pelosi's husband in their San Francisco home is being sentenced to life without parole. Lisa Taylor with more.
A judge in the state trial handed down the sentence on David DePapp's aggravated kidnapping conviction in his 2022 attack on Paul Pelosi with a hammer. He broke into the Pelosi's home looking for the then House Speaker with plans to hold her hostage. DePapp was previously sentenced to 30 years in prison in his federal case. I'm Lisa Taylor.
Two new lawsuits have been filed in New York against Sean Diddy Combs, accusing the music mogul of sexually assaulting two boys. Michael Kastner.
One lawsuit filed Monday says the alleged assault happened in 2005 when he was just 10 years old and that he was given a soda spiked with drugs. In the other suit, also filed Monday, a man claims he was sexually assaulted by Combs in 2008 when he was 17. Both men claim they were auditioning for Combs at the time of the alleged assaults. These are just two of many lawsuits filed following the hip-hop mogul's arrest for sex trafficking and racketeering. Combs maintains his innocence. I'm Michael Kastner.
And comedic actress Terry Garr is dead at the age of 79. The star of films including Young Frankenstein and Tootsie, for which she received an Oscar nomination, died Tuesday in Los Angeles after a lengthy battle with multiple sclerosis. She was in dozens of movies and TV shows throughout the 70s, 80s, and 90s. She is survived by her adult daughter.
WBSM Sports.
The Boston Celtics packed their bags and headed to Indiana to play the Pacers tonight, and the Boston Bruins are off to play the Carolina Hurricanes on Halloween.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
We'll see increasing sunshine throughout your Wednesday here on the South Coast. A high of 70 degrees today. For Thursday, partly cloudy but even warmer. In fact, it's the second warmest Halloween on record. We're looking at a high of 77 degrees. Friday, starting with a few morning showers and clouds, a high of 73. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM. And get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in. Nothing wrong with little Spice Girls in the morning, and I'm actually having some pumpkin spice coffee because, well, I'll drink pumpkin spice coffee until they stop having it in the stores. And I have a little back supply that I will make at home, whether it be some K-cups, even though I don't, you know, love K-cups every once in a while, I'll make them at home for convenience sake. But I also have some Nespresso pods of pumpkin spice that I've hoarded away. And I even have some pumpkin spice infused beans, which I've never tried. They're in a, you know, they're in an airlock bag. They're a, and I only have one grinder and I don't want to mix them in with the regular beans.
So I was like, I'll hold on to those. But I will drink pumpkin spice any time of year. The mind-blowing thing about pumpkin spice is it's not spiced with pumpkin. It's just the spices that would go with pumpkin pie or, you know, pumpkin flavors. So, mind-blowing. Anyway, if you are planning on, and some people are still camping this time of year. And I think where we're going to have some nice weather for Halloween, maybe some people are thinking, I might go spend the night outside. How creepy would that be to camp out on Halloween night? By the way, I think you're going to have a Friday workplace environment that's very much like the Super Bowl Monday. You have a lot of people who call out or are using a holiday, floating holiday or something on November 1st because they don't want to have to come in after whatever Halloween party they're going to. But if you are planning on spending some time outdoors and doing some camping or spending some time outside, MassDCR is putting a temporary ban on any fires in state parks because of this dry weather that we're having and the high risk for brush fires. In fact, they're still working to put that brush fire out on the North Shore. There's been more that have been popping up. According to Channel 5's reporting, WCVB, it's going to be a long process. They've burned hundreds of acres of land already, and there's no end in sight. And the smoke conditions are going to continue as well. So keep that in mind. The air quality is dropping, not just in the area where these fires are happening, but along the rest of Massachusetts as well, because the smoke from these brush fires is starting to reach us. Poor air quality has been reported not only in the Merrimack Valley and in Metro West, but also all the way down to Cape Cod and along the South Shore. Because there's an atmospheric condition right now called inversion that's keeping the smoke low to the ground because it is floating in a layer of cooler air that cannot rise through the warmer air above. So it's keeping this poor quality air, the smoky air, down closer to us. So air quality across most of the North Shore was labeled unhealthy as of 11 a.m. yesterday. In the Merrimack Valley and Cape Ann, it was unhealthy for sensitive groups, and it was moderate air quality concerns that were reported in Metro West as well as Cape Cod and along the coast. So if you are somebody who is prone to having issues when the air quality alerts are out there, this might be impacting you. And what we need is significant rain, not just the little bit of rain that we had this morning or last night. I don't know when it rained here. I know that when I left the library in Belchertown, it felt like it was going to rain, and then it rained a little bit on my way home. But then when I came out of the house this morning, I was like, oh, and it definitely rained. So we need significant rain. And eventually the change in the climate will help move this along. But for the next couple of days, you're going to feel some of that air quality if you're prone to issues with that. So if that's an issue for you, try to limit how much time you spend outside. Now, later on today, I'm going to assume, because I haven't heard differently from Chris, but if he's listening, he can let me know. But I'm going to assume that Mayor Mitchell will be in for midweek with the mayor at 11 a.m. And I think, there's a lot that he'll want to discuss. They can talk about the Parker Elementary School. They can talk about some other issues going on in town, in the city. I always got to be careful with that. You know, I say in town, like, I'm talking about, like, in the community. Like, I'm using town lowercase t. And people get upset if you say that about New Bedford or Fall River. Like, no, no, we're a city. We're not a town. But at 1 p.m. today, there's going to be a press conference at New Bedford City Hall. I'm not going to be able to make it because I've got to get ready to head to Pembroke. But the press conference will be Mayor Mitchell, Police Chief Paul Oliveira, and members of the Board of Election Commissioners, and they'll be discussing election safety and security measures. So there's been concerns with the last few elections. Some warranted, some I think are just overblown things. And they're going to talk about the preparations that are in place so that people can feel that the election will be safe and secure. You know, some of it was things like voting machines would go out, you know, the ballot machines would go out, they would die, and it turns out it's because they were on battery power and people didn't realize they weren't plugged in. Like, things like that, easy to address. Just make it part of the protocol now that before you start, you physically check and make sure that it's plugged in and that it's on AC power and not on battery power. Simple. We had the issue last time where not enough Republican ballots were delivered in the primary to certain precincts or didn't get there at the start of voting. Okay, create a double check system, which they did. That should be an easy fix. I mean, again, these are problems that shouldn't have happened in the first place, but things happen. But I think questions that people have had, like, what happens with my ballot when I early vote and then I hand it into the police officer? Like, I know that it's safe and secure, but I would like to know what the process is. Things like that. I think people still have questions about. And so they'll address some of those issues and others this afternoon at 1 p.m. on the steps of City Hall. And I'm sure that'll be, you know, available for live stream. You know, Carlos will probably stream it. It'll probably be on the city's Facebook page if you want to be able to see it for yourself. But I'm not concerned in terms of, is it safe and secure? I'm concerned about, will more preventable issues pop up? You know, do they have enough help for how big of an election we hope this is going to turn out to be? You know, those are just the things I'm hoping. Because, listen, those people do a great job over there. And I know they get beat up here on the radio when mistakes happen. And, you know, sometimes that's warranted. And sometimes you got to take the criticism when it comes, if it's warranted. But also sometimes, you know, people are looking for any little thing. Like, was it a screw up that they didn't have enough Republican ballots, or in some cases didn't have Republican ballots to start the day? Yes. Were they trying to keep Republicans from voting? No. There was no conspiracy there. There was just a system that wasn't foolproof, that needed to be made foolproof. And so that's what we've had happen now in the time since. So now you will get to hear from them what to expect, and you'll get to see for yourself. And I hope some of you have already gotten out and early voted. If not, you still have until Friday to do so, through Friday to do so. And if you don't get it done by then, well, then you're going to have to go in person on Tuesday. But that still gives you today, tomorrow, and Friday to get down to the library in New Bedford or wherever the early voting is happening in your community to cast your ballot early. I would think most people's minds are made up by now. But if you are undecided and unsure and you need to wait until Tuesday, I understand. And it would be really nice if we not only saw a big turnout for this, but if we saw that more, you know, more new registered voters came out as a result of whatever motivates them in this election. Because for all that we can say about how bad the last 8 years, decade has been in national politics, if it's one thing we can point to is it's motivated people to vote that hadn't voted before. And hopefully they stick around and are part of the process, even if their particular person that they were backing, if they don't win. Whoever that may be, you know, either side, whatever. But hopefully they stick around and remain invested in what goes on. I don't have faith that that'll be the case. Like, let's just say, for lack of a better term, we go back to boring politics, normal politics, after this election. I wonder how many people that got riled up on either side of it were here because they actually were motivated by it all and started paying attention, or how many of it were just here for the drama. And if there's no drama, do they still show up and vote? I mean, we saw how many people got riled up in 2020, and look at the numbers for the municipal elections. They didn't start paying attention to all politics. 508-996-0500. We got to take a break here. We'll be right back. And what a great use of sampling Genius of Love there from Tom Tom Club. But they are thawing out Mariah as we speak. Starting on Friday, you're going to hear Mariah everywhere. All I want for Christmas is you, and you're not going to be able to escape it. We will be taking more of your calls, 508-996-0500, but it is still October, at least for a few more days. And of course, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. WBSM is teaming up with PrimaCare in an effort to prevent, identify, and cure a disease that strikes 1 in 8 women in the United States. It is less common in men, but does strike men as well. But let me say that again. 1 in 8 women in the United States. You know more than 8 women. That means 1 out of every 8 women that you know could be stricken with breast cancer. A simple mammogram can be your best weapon in the fight against breast cancer, allowing for early detection and the best chance for successful treatment. Early detection makes all the difference. Breast self-examination should begin at age 20, with yearly breast exams from 20 to 39 and yearly mammography screenings from age 40 on. Awareness, detection, treatment, cure, that's the key to beating this disease. Breast Cancer Awareness Month on WBSM is brought to you by PrimaCare. By your side. There you go. That's the original. And when my son was little, when he was like, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, we used to watch, at night I would watch music videos. They had the 80s show and the 90s show on what was then, what was it? I forget the name of it. Now it's MTV Classic, but it had a different name before that. And we would watch the music video shows, just kind of like wind down from our day. And they would play that video, which is like a cartoon video. And there's a dog in the video. It's like, ha-da-da-da, ha-da-da-da. And he would laugh every time he saw that dog. And then there was the part where they would go, James Brown. And he would like sing along with that part. It was like the cutest thing in the world. I'm like, see, we are exposing you to good music at a young age. But then he grew up to be a kid that wasn't into music. And I don't know how that happened. Being the child of his mother and I, two people where music was everything to us when we were younger, for sure, but even now, don't know how he turned into a kid that doesn't really care about music. Weird. Anyway, We're going to take a break for the news. When we come back on the other side, we can take more of your calls, 508-996-0500. I got some more movie quote app chat messages that I didn't get to yesterday, so I will read those this morning, I promise, because some folks brought up some good ones, and I just ran out of time yet.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.